Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scribner with the Living Savior Ministries. This teaching we're going to do is going to be on a subject about demons and how they work and how they get access to us. I trust you will enjoy this. At the end of the teaching, we'll have a website and a phone number where you can get these teachings free, but we're going to go into the teaching, and you hope you enjoy this very much in Jesus' name.
And that's what you get for being walking in unforgiveness. Now, how many of the church don't know that? Most of us. If we did, do you think we'd ever hold a grudge against anybody for a little nickel sin? No, not even for a $5 sin. Especially when you have a $10 million one you owe the king. If he won't forgive, you won't forgive for that little one. He said, I won't forgive you for the $10 million one. Well, guess what? In fact, he not only says, I'll not forgive you for your sins, but I will turn you over to the tormenting, devouring spirits, and you'll not get out from them until you pay me every penny you owe me. Turn over to Matthew 18, 21 through 35, and let's read that while we're right there. That is an awesome, awesome verse. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Let me turn to that in my Bible. Matthew 18, this is an awesome scripture when you learn this. I mean, if the church could realize this, maybe your Bible don't read like mine. That's why you should check out every man or woman of God that stands before you. You should ask questions, and you should make sure that your Bible reads just like theirs, right? Let me read this story in Matthew 18, 21. Mine says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? The Lord says, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. I mean, so far, is my Bible and y'all's read about the same? And verse 23 says, therefore, Peter, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him $10 million. 10,000 talents, whatever. You still read like mine? But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made. Now, who's going to have to pay the price for this man's sin? Who's going to have to pay the price? Huh? The whole, and not only his family, but everything that he owned. His bank account, his cars, his lands, his houses, his airplanes, whatever he's got. And all that he had, and that payment be made. Isn't that awesome? Read on. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Now, you know what that's a picture of? That's when you and me come to Jesus and say, Father, I can't pay my debt for my sin. Will you please forgive me? What does he do? He forgives you. Sure he does, because this is a picture of it right here. Then the master was served, or that servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. But look what that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him $100. And he laid hands on him. Not only just laid hands on him and took him by the throat saying, pay me what you owe me. Can you imagine this scene? You've just been forgiven $10 million and here's a little brother that owes you $100. And you go out and grab him by the nape of the neck and he's down on his knees now. So that the fellow fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not. Isn't that awesome? But he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told the master of the Lord all that had been done. Then his master of the Lord, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that huge debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. Who do you think the torturers are? So my heavenly... Listen, look at verse 35. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now that's what my Bible says. Did yours read something like that? Or do you get the same message out of that I do? We were turned over to the devil, right? Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, by knowing these scriptures, this little 3-year-old girl's laying here in the hospital with a 104-degree temperature and an epileptic seizure. So the girl gets the sin confessed. She goes to the cousin. She gets it taken care of. She comes back, and I tell her to ask the Father in the name of Jesus to forgive her. She does. Has it made any change in the little girl? Not a bit. She's still just as sick as she ever was. I said, now then, son, this is what I want you to do. I said, I want you to walk up to your baby, and I want you to read Colossians 2:15 to her, and then I want you to read, in fact, we might just do that, so you will see these things. This wasn't in my outline today. But I get off on these rabbit chases pretty often, so it's no big deal. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. When you turn over to Colossians 2:15, you'll find out what the Lord has done for us there. And as I get over there to Colossians 2, I'll read that as you read it. And we'll see if yours, Galatians, Philippians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Okay, Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. And his mind says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle over them, triumphing over them in it, the cross. Now, if Jesus disarmed Satan and his demons and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by what he did in the cross, if he triumphed over them and he disarmed them, how much power do they have left? None. But now then, they have power if you're walking in sin. But if you're not walking in sin, they have no power. See, they can't do these things to you as long as you got your sins confessed. So if Jesus disarmed them, I said, now then you read that scripture, which he did. And then I said, now son, I want you to turn back to Luke chapter 10, and I want you to read verse 19 and 20. Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. So the young man turned his Bible there to Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. I said, now read that. And he says, behold, now this is Jesus speaking, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, or Satan and his demons, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the evil spirits have to be subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I said, now son, by knowing these two verses, I want you to reach your hand down on your little daughter and lay your hand on her, and then I want you to turn to Mark chapter 16 and I want you to read what that says, and then I want you to do that. So then he turned to Mark chapter 16 and read in verse 17, Mark 16:17, and these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name, the name of Jesus, they will cast out demons. And the last line of verse 18 says, and they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, that's what my Bible says. Do yours say that? Okay, we got at least two in here that agree. Yeah, the snake or the serpent always means Satan, and the scorpion is always those that pierce the body or the demons. That's what those are. Scorpions are those in the Greek, that's a word that says those that pierce the body. Those scorpions are Satan's demons. The serpent or the snake is always Satan himself in the Word of God, unless he's literally talking about a physical snake that would crawl on the ground. But when here he's speaking about the enemy, so we know he's talking about Satan and his demons. And so after doing those things, I said, now son, the source of the devil's legal right to your baby has been removed. I want you to lay your hand on your baby after reading these scriptures before your daughter. And I want you to look down into her eyes. I want you to say, Satan, my wife and I are now walking in a love relationship. In the name of Jesus, you no longer have legal right to my daughter. So in the name of Jesus, I command you, Satan, to come out of my baby. And that little girl had been sick 4 days. And she was instantly healed. Her temperature was gone from 104 to 98.6. She began to stir. She got up off that bed, began to run around the room, and a nurse came in and said, my gosh, what's wrong with her? And he grabbed her and put a thermometer in her, and she said, my Lynn, she's got 98.6. What happened? Who was in there? Who was in there? A demon. How did he get in there? The mama's sin. The mama's sin. Now, I'll tell you what. Absolutely. In fact, let me tell you another one we're fixing to make a video of This is a 74-year-old man and his wife that in 1983, this man, which is a Southern Baptist deacon, which was a man that loved God, which walked in love and did everything the Lord says, in 1983 he came down with cancer. They operated on him. They took parts out of him. They done everything to him. He got worse. And to 1997 come along, 1983 to 1997, he was tormented. He'd been to the doctors. They spent their life insurance money, everything they had. They were so far in debt, they ain't never going to get out of debt. And in 1997, they give up this man to die. They burned a hole in his colon with radiation and said, "Sir, we're sorry. We're just going to have to send you home to die. You're leaking on the inside. There ain't nothing we can do for you. It's all over." And his son happened to have been coming to my Sunday school class. And he told me of the situation. And he said, "Thurman, what is it that could be causing Satan, or giving Satan legal right to my dad?" He said, "He's the kindest, gentlest man you've ever seen." I said, "Well, tell me about your mother." He said, "Well, now, mother, that's a different story." He said, "Mother's held grudges against everybody as far back as I can know. Remember." Said, "She's got a gun forgiveness, every cousin, every kinfolk we got, I guess." Said, "That's all she does, talk evil about him." I said, "There's your problem." Said, "Guarantee that's your problem." I said, "Now, your dad's dying." He said, "Well, why in the world would he hit my dad?" I said, "Gosh, that's simple. Your dad's a man of God. He loves God. He's trying to serve God in the church. He wants to go minister to people, tell them about Jesus. Why wouldn't he kill him?" I said, "Your mother, she ain't doing nothing for Jesus. You know, she's over here talking evil about everybody, holding grudges against everybody. She ain't doing nothing Jesus told her. She's doing everything the devil wants her to do." I said, "That's a simple answer." I said, "Now," he said, "what am I going to do?" I said, "Well, first thing you're not going to do, you're not going to go over and jump up Mama's face and say, 'Mama, Daddy's dying because of you.'" Because I said, "Mama ain't going to believe that, son. I can tell you for sure." But I said, "You go over and tell her in these different places I'm going to show you where Jesus clearly said, 'If you will not forgive everybody from your heart, I will not forgive you, and I will not hear your prayers.'" I said, "Now, if she's truly a woman of God, she'll understand that and she'll repent." And so he went to her and told her that. And sure enough, after he showed her about three places, she said, "Son, I really didn't know those things were in the Bible. Although I've been in church all of my life," and she's 68, whatever it was. She said, "I didn't know that." She said, "If Jesus said I got to do that, I got to do that."
Stop right there on the teaching today, but we will take up tomorrow right there at the same place. I hope you've enjoyed this teaching. If you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would contact us at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And ask for the teachings on the question and the answer. And if you want to go to our website, you can go to www.tlsm.org. And there you can order all the free teachings that you want. We have them there. Just remember, Jesus Christ is our King and our Lord, and He's a mighty God, and we love serving Him. If we can do anything to help you, just contact us. We'll be happy to pray for you or try anything to meet your needs.